is a simple song.
Blog Talk Radio.
I will sing, I will sing, I will sing of His goodness and His kindness and His mercy. I will sing.
It's a simple song. Everybody join us.
I will sing.
I bless you guys for joining us here at Harvest New Life Church and Harvest New Life Studios. Co-hosting tonight, I'm Pastor Charles Owens. It's always a pleasure for you guys to be with us in the studio tonight. We're going to have one of our actually hometown favorites. Going to be on the radio with us tonight. That's going to be Elder Kerry Williams of Kerry Williams Ministry out of Saginaw, Michigan. Such a great man of God. We're going to let the music solidify itself in here just a little bit. For those who are going to be calling to the studio and want to be a part of the show, the number is going to be 516-387-1220. That actually station is going to be actually on your blogtalkradio.com. You can go to that and actually go to the live station on what we call the search bar. That'll bring you right into the studio. For those who are just going to be calling in local without loading the app, you can go ahead and call in to 516-387-1220. It's always a pleasure for you guys joining me here at Harvest New Life Church in Harvest New Life Studios. So we'll be getting cranked up with you guys here in just a moment. To join us here once again, Harvest New Life Studios and Harvest New Life Church. I'm Pastor Charles. I was going to be a co-host on tonight. We got a great man of God that's going to be in the studio. That's going to be Elder Kerry Williams out of Saginaw, Michigan. Before he actually come on to the air, we're going to actually give some announcements about some of the events we got going over here at Harvest New Life Church and Harvest New Life Studios. For those who will be calling into the studio, I want to let you know the call-in number. We have the question and answer session right after this particular show. It's the man of God bring forth the word. It's going to be actually area code 516-387-1220. That'll get you into the studio. for those who are actually coming in after the course of the show, when they actually get out to the what you call the bulk of the word and begin to bring it down, you have a chance to call in and get questions and answers when you actually push the number one on your actually little dial, your actually telephone system, and that'll get you right into the studio. But here at Harvest Light Church, coming on tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time here in the city of Dallas, we're going to have Dr. Stefan Swilly. He'll be right back with us in the studio. And we're pushing real hard for Friday night. We don't want to jump on Thursday night because I'll be going right back into that Seven Laws of the Kingdom. We'll be actually teaching on that once again. You can join us right here at Harvest New Light Studios and Harvest New Light Church. Now, we're actually looking forward to Friday night. We're going to see what availability is going to be. But Pastor Pearson out of Mount Olive Church in the city of Terrell, Texas, always a phenomenal and powerful man of God that brings forth a very legitimate word that coming from the kingdom of God. I want to thank my good friend, Dr. J.C. Matthews at J.C. Matthews Ministry. For those who want to log on to his actual website, can do so. That's going to be J.C. Matthews, Dr. J.C., or just J.C. Matthews. That's going to be jcmatthews.org. And that'll put you into actually area where he's got some powerful information in terms of the laws of the dominion of the kingdom. Not only that, he's got a powerful series out right now that's dealing with the area of the paradigm shift. And he got a fantastic program that's going to come out with Dr. Daryl Wilson out of Fort Worth, Texas, over at Axe Church, when he's going to be bringing in Dr. Miles Monroe Jr. and his actually daughter at what's called the Gospel Cavalcade. But we're not going to forlow the time. We're going to actually get the man of God on the air. We want him to continue to go forth and do what God has called him to do. Once again, you're listening to Harvest New Light Church and Harvest New Light Studios here in the city of Dallas. I want to get this man of God, Elder Kerry Williams, in of Kerry Williams Ministry. After a second, let me see. Are you there with us, Elder Kerry?
Yes, sir. I am, sir.
All right, I'm going to back out and loose the rings, and I'm going to turn them on to you. I'm going to let you have your way. You have no other than to introduce to you Elder Kerry Williams out of Saginaw, Michigan, of Elder Kerry Williams Ministry.
Amen. God bless you, Pastor Ellis. May we have a quick word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. God, we thank you for these hearts and these minds that are here looking to you, the author, the finisher of our faith tonight, for a word from on high. Oh God, we would that we would decrease tonight, that you would decrease, that your people be edified, that you be glorified. And we ask, oh God, that you continue to meet the needs of this people, Lord. Continue to raise us up spiritually as sons and daughters, as according to your beloved gospel. We ask again tonight that you bless each and every man and woman of God, Lord, and strengthen us in our resolve to represent you on this earth in these last few days. These and all the best we thank you for, in your son Jesus' name we do pray. Thank God and amen. Amen. God bless you again, Pastor Ellis, and thank you for this time and this space. We won't be before you long, but we just would like to leave a quick word with you of wisdom. Amen. We'd like to encourage someone tonight. We understand that in this day and age, you know, times are hard. We are yet, saints of God, living in a present evil world in this age. The Bible lets us know that Satan is the god of this present world. But how many know that the God that we serve, the creator and ruler of all, has kept his children? Amen. So tonight we're going to talk about very briefly just what it means to be crucified with Christ. What it means to be crucified with Christ, amen. I know that as we go about our days and our daily habits and routines, amen, there are many things that we often suffer, you know, that come out of the blue, it's unexpected. But we also understand that if we suffer with Christ, we shall also reign with him. For our scripture tonight, we're going to start off with a word from the Apostle Paul. It's in the book of Galatians, the second chapter and verse 20. And this is one of my favorite scriptures because I take it personally to heart. Everyone who's a born again, believed Christian or child of God would do well to reference this scripture as a personal mantle because it's also your testimony. And we're talking about testimony too tonight. But the scripture reads, and I'm reading from the New King James Version, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm going to read that one more time. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. We thank God for the reading of the word. This was Paul's testimony in his word to the Galatians. And if you read this particular chapter of Scripture, Paul was actually starting out giving his testimony. He ended up having to defend the gospel. And he started out explaining that after 14 years, after he had been saved and he had been regenerated by God on the road to Damascus, this was 14 years later. He had already taken the time to explain to the council in Jerusalem, to the other apostles, and some of the other church folk that he wasn't called according to or by any man, but he was called and he was appointed and anointed directly by revelation from God himself. And after 14 years, he went up again to Jerusalem, and he took Barnabas with him, and he let them know that it was by revelation that he preached this gospel. Well, this gospel was revealed to him directly from God through Jesus himself at that point. And the reason this is so important is because we need to understand that in the days that we're living in, the Bible says that in this particular day, in this age, there were a lot of things that were going to be going on, and it would be so tough and so awesome, so that the love of many of the body of Christ, would wax cold, and that if it were possible, the very elect of God would be deceived into giving up their salvation. We have to understand that we have to be careful. The Bible says to guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it flow the issues of life, and it also lets us know that at the end of the day, we still have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. I was speaking with another good brother of mine earlier today, and the Lord dropped something in my spirit to share with him, and it was simply this. This day in this age, we have to be very careful when it comes to the church, and I'm talking about the physical church. I'll explain why in a minute. But many people have been deceived into believing that because they get up and they go to a church on Sunday morning and they even participate in some of the church activities, that they're actually serving God. But, beloved, the truth is the only ones who are actually serving God are the ones who are renewed and regenerated and have been crucified with Christ and have been renewed in their spirit. See, you can do the activity all day long, the physical activity, and not all of it's bad. But it does not change the fact that the Word of God says that God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. See, the thing behind that is that especially as we see all of the manner of turmoil and everything breaking forth around us in the world, we see the Word of God being played out around us every day. But the truth of God is simply this. It's not just enough to be in the church, brothers and sisters, but the church has to be in you. Mankind has built a lot of churches, and today in this age, just to be perfectly honest, a lot of the churches that we see today have become no more than glorified social clubs. You have a lot of people that are running around, and I'm talking about, again, the physical church. They come in and out. They sit, they sing, they do this, they do that. they have their feelings and their emotions entertained, and then they leave, and there's been no change spiritually. There's been no growth in the inward man. They go about the same lives, doing the same things, committing the same sins. But then they get up the next weekend and they go to church and they honestly believe that that's pleasing to God. Again, the Bible says that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. God's church, God is a spirit, so also is his church. The ecclesia, the called out ones. We are the ecclesia, the called out ones. But God's church is spiritual in nature. God's spiritual Israel dwells in the rejuvenated hearts of men. And this is so important because there's a saying that my parents and a lot of the old folks say. They would always say, you can make your mouth say anything. But we understand that God, it's impossible for God to lie. So when it comes to this particular scripture here, I have been crucified with Christ. That means that down to the grave, no matter what you go through, no matter how good things are, how tough things are, you have given up your life. You have given up your fleshly will in exchange for newness of spirit and life and the will of God for your life. Now, what that means, beloved, is that we no longer operate on a me, my, and I basis, but we operate solely on the will and intent of God. And too many of us have it twisted today. See, I beg to tell you that there's going to be a lot of good people go to hell. We don't obtain salvation and justification of God by being good. We obtain it only by submitting our will and coming to Jesus Christ. The Bible says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by me. Now, tonight, we really just want to take a look at this, and we welcome the questions and comments and commentary later on in the show. But we've got to understand that these really are perilous times that we're living in. And in these perilous times, the only thing that's going to stand is the will, the word, and the spirit of God in your life. We have to understand, receive, and obey true submission to the will of God. If we're only partially submitting to the truth of God, Jesus said that he was guilty of one of it is guilty of all. Amen. And what we've got to understand that these times are so perilous because this is the time that the church is supposed to rise and lift up the standard of God. This is why I applaud and I support men of God who are very diligent about getting the word out, men of God who are very diligent about feeding the flock of God, men of God like Pastor Ellis, Reverend Robert Williams, and there are others, so many others. I won't get into name, Connor. But men that are dedicated to not only obeying the will of God in their lives, but seeing the will of God come to fruition in the lives of any and everyone around them. You know, we know and we quote the scriptures all the time, but we have to understand that we all have, those of us of the household of faith, have a responsibility to live this thing first, because only by living it is then it can only be preached. Paul said that we were open, living, living epistles, read and known of all men. And to coin another popular phrase, you may be the only Jesus that they see. So we got to understand how important it is to die, kill ourselves. And we, if we decide, if we profess, if we submit to dying with Christ, that means we're dead to the world of sin. We're dead to lust, fleshly thoughts, activities, lust, and the like. And we've got to understand that the only thing that's going to stand today is the Word of God. The Word of God is the only thing that's going to bear real fruit in your life. And right now is a very critical time. It's a very critical time. As a matter of fact, Paul says in Romans 6:6, he said, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. That term done away with means that we shall be rendered inoperative, we in ourselves. We've got to understand, saints of God, that there are no big eyes or little U's in this thing. It is solely about the will of God. And to be honest with you, the Bible plainly lets us know, those of us that have been called, those of us that have accepted the call of God to do his bidding, it's to our detriment if we do not do what the Lord and the gospel requires us to do. Because no matter how good you got it, no matter how bad you got it, God has a peace for you that transcends all understanding, that will insulate you from whatever storm you may be facing, whatever you may be going through. I am a witness. How many know, as a matter of fact, how many know that you can be in the midst of a wilderness and still be in the will of God? That's how great and awesome God is that we serve. For example, if you look at the children of Israel throughout the Old Testament, throughout the books of Exodus, and God had taken them through the wilderness. He committed them to a 40-year journey in the wilderness. Now, they grumbled, they griped, they complained, they rebelled against leadership. But how many know the whole time they were in that wilderness, God met their every need? He fed them with manna, a food that no man on the face of this earth had ever seen before and has seen since. He fed them directly from his hand. He gave them enough to sustain them. He gave them water from a rock when they were stuck in a dry, parched land. See, as long as you are crucified with Christ, as long as you are totally insulated in God, no matter what's going on, he's going to supply your need. And a lot of times, too often these days, we confuse needs with wants and desires. I heard someone say one time, recently, that God had given them favor because he had blessed them with a new Mercedes. Isaiah 66:2 says it like this. The Lord says that these are the ones that I look upon with favor, those who are humble and of a contrite heart and tremble at my word. So when we talk about the favor of God, it's not necessarily in material possessions or things like that. No, beloved, the favor is in the fact, especially when you look at something like that. This woman, she said that she had favor from God because God had blessed her with a new Mercedes. But what she didn't say was she paid $50,000, $70,000 for that Mercedes. She had to go to work every day and take all this money and pay for that car. The favor of God wasn't in the fact that she had the car. The favor of God was in the fact that she was even able to receive the job, to earn the money to pay for the car. God gives you the same favor. If he gives you that hoopty out there, that hoopty got an engine in it just like that Mercedes. It's got four wheels just like that Mercedes. It's got doors, it's got windows just like that Mercedes. The favor is giving you the means to get to wherever it is he needs you to get to. There's been a big uproar about the gospel of prosperity being taught in church today. I won't even get into that right now. That's another subject matter. But what I will say is this. We have to make sure that we are firmly connected in this word, because God operates. God wants your spirit. This is why he requires you to be crucified. He sent Christ down to be crucified physically, to take on our sin so that we could come back to him without any hindrance, so that we could come back to him, so that he can possess our spirits. That part, every one of us is what's called a tripart being. Man has a body. He is a spirit. He has a body. He has a soul or an intellect that makes him a three-part being. God, when God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness, he made man in three parts. But when he put his spirit directly into man and man became a living being, that's what he's going to come back to. Your spirit will never die until God says it's done. Your body's going to pass away. Your mind, your intellect's going to pass away. But the spirit is eternal, just like God, because it came from God. Now, the difference is, when everything is all said and done, we understand that God is going to reclaim his spirit. The spirit that's in line with his spirit and his will is going to live forever. The spirit, as the Bible says, that is not will be cut off. It's going to die. And we already understand that story. But I want to encourage someone tonight that if you're going through, if you're struggling, be encouraged. Make sure that you are crucified with Christ, because your feelings will lie to you. Your spirit, however, as long as you submit it to the will of God, as long as you crucify your flesh, as long as you are crucified with Christ, then you've allowed Jesus Christ to come in and to live, and he regulates and he guides your spirit. And this is what we need to preach more of today. Because, again, a lot of times today, people are going to church like never before. There are churches that are packed out on Sunday morning. But the problem is, how many are actually being fed? How many are actually receiving and operating in the will and the spirit of God? It's impossible for God to lie. 2 Corinthians 5 and 15 tells us, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Beloved, ask yourself a question. How many times a day do you go about your day, or do you get up, and your thought process is consumed with pleasing yourself? How much time do you spend looking to receive everything that you can get for yourself? Because if most of your time is spent gleaning and trying to obtain for yourself, then I submit to you that you're living in the absence of love. That's a whole other story, too. But living in the absence of love simply means that you're living outside of the will, the protection, and the presence of God. You've got to understand, again, that it's not enough for us to be in the church. The church has to be in us. And so I said a lot just to say this tonight, that God is soon to return. He's given us his word. He's given us his spirit. He's given us his presence. But when it's all said and done, all of us are going to have to face him. All of us are going to have to be able to stand in this day. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Everybody here, everybody listening on this broadcast tonight, you are locked and engaged in a battle over your soul. You have the enemy coming against God, and you are stuck in the middle. God created you to be God gave you independence. He made you what's called a free moral agent. That meant when he created you in his image and his likeness, he gave you the ability to either choose or reject him. And right now, in this day and age, our loyalty, our choices, everything's being put to the test. And when you see everything that's going on around you, and particularly in this country, Jesus said, do not be afraid. He said, the end is not yet. But we've got to pay attention. We've got to pay attention. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that's going to stand is whatever's rooted and grounded in this word. If it's rooted and grounded in the word, that means it's reborn in the spirit. The spirit of God is great. The spirit of God is eternal. The spirit of God is pure. But to operate or to walk in less than God's spirit right now is condemnation. And see, people are afraid to preach certain messages and end time messages, but it's impossible for God to lie. Timothy told us that these are perilous times, the days that we're living in. So the men shall be proud, boastful, lovers of evil, haters of good, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. It's being manifested all around us, saints. And we have to understand that because we are spirits that are trapped in houses and bodies of flesh, our flesh is constantly going to war against the spirit. Jesus said that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is indeed weak. And I learned a long time ago, you can't save a man from himself. So we got to understand that we have to be about our Father's business. We have to have our bags packed, our spiritual bags packed, because time is going to expire on us rather sooner than later. We can't second guess God. We can't afford to be on the outside looking in. So to go with the status quo and to feel good, that's not going to cut it with God, amen. God requires obedience to him, his word, his spirit. God is a sovereign God, amen. I'm going to close this out now so that we can have a question and answer period. But I just want to leave you with this. Right now is the most critical time in the life of the believer. We have delegated dunamis power that God has given us. Jesus gave us the same power. He delegated to his church and to his body the same power that God himself used to raise him from the dead. But we can't tap into that power if all we know to do is to operate in fleshly traditions and things less and things of that nature. As a matter of fact, when Paul preached his very gospel in Galatians, it's exactly what he was doing. He was addressing certain issues in the church, one of which was hypocrisy in the church. Paul knew that God had ordained him. Paul knew that God had given him his spirit, and Paul knew clarity. He knew that his mission was to preach salvation to the Gentiles. He knew that it was his mission to preach salvation to the Gentile nation. And he had a problem when he went to Jerusalem because some of the apostles, Peter namely, was one of the ones who initially agreed with him. They agreed with him. They gave him the right hand of fellowship to go and do that. But when the larger council come together and there were Gentile and people there, Peter actually refused to sit and eat with the Gentiles. He chose to dwell amongst the Jews and to follow the same customs of the law that God had delivered them with, that he had agreed with Paul previously that they had been delivered from. So today, as you walk this walk, you've got to be careful. You've got to understand what's real and what's not, because the enemy, as Peter says, walk about the earth as a roaring lion to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. How many know the devil goes to church amongst people and inside those walls? That's such a glorious thing. But it is not your salvation. The Bible says you have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's before a holy God and in the spirit of that same holy God. It's good to go to church. It's good to be involved. But see, God commanded us to assemble ourselves together inside the walls of the physical church in order that we might receive more from him, in order that we might encourage and build one another up, so that we can leave outside those walls in the spirit of the real church and represent God here on earth. The last thing I'm going to say to you is to remember this much. Jesus came and was crucified once already. Now in this age, God gets things done here on earth in the hands of men. And he's the only one that will qualify us to anything less than sell ourselves. Same God that said that he gave his only begotten Son, for whosoever is believing him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's the same God said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. God bless you tonight. So praying with you as you pray with us. It's back in your hands, Pastor Ellis.
Amen. It's such a nice, such a powerful word that he bought, concerning some of the things that we all in the process of dealing with in the body of Christ. And we're going to open up the lines, and I'm going to go ahead and go forth with the process of bringing in the question and answers. For those who are actually calling into the studio, the number is going to be 516-387-1220. Now, in order to get your hand up or maybe come into the studio, one of the narrators is at the show and can be able to see you, you're going to push the number one button. And that'll get a chance to you to come into the studio and be with Elder Kerry Williams and some of the questions and answers that you have on this afternoon. But one of the things I would like to say is we get ready to proceed to go forth in this area of the service on tonight for those who going to be answering, who want to have questions answered. You know, you talk about the process over there and how Apostle Paul, in his process of not coming back to the actual to the apostles, he it would have been suicide for him, knowing that the process of him and Peter to go back to the apostles. And this is a significant answer to what you're talking about. For those who worship must worship me in spirit and truth. When Paul got his word is going on to Damascus, and after he came off Damascus, he said he preferred not to flesh and blood, and it was really a revelation.
That's right.
Because sometimes people be what you call schizophrenic, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. You know, they can be back and forth. You know, they kind of be what you
That's
call
right. Hang on every word of the man. That's right.
So he said, I prefer not with flesh and blood. I mean, Paul went over to Arabia. He had to get along with Christ to understand what is it that he had to do in order to bring that what Christ has put in him, to being who he is today, knowing that he was going to receive persecution in the process of bringing forth his word. It's almost as if I can say it in a normal manner, if somebody came to you and really foul language to you. Now, I'm going to say spicy language. That's a proper way of putting it for where we are today and talking. If somebody came and gave you spicy language, Elder Williams, and they talk bad to you, and you would have a different approach to that particular individual because you would be in the flesh.
Amen.
This is why he said, not with flesh and blood. When you're walking in revelation, when you're walking in illumination, the divine destiny of the power of God, as the man of God said, you have to be able to consult with God himself about the gift that he's put in you, because man will deter you. For those who are going to be calling into the studio on this afternoon, we welcome you to come in. Just push number one on your phone services, whatever you have, tap, touch, whatever you have, Androids, iPads. If you're coming to the studio, you want to dial 516-387-1220. And man of God, we want you to kind of touch a little bit more, if you can, if you will, during the course of the time, for those who want to call into the studio on that particular area of the book of Galatians that you referred over there in the actually 20th verse. It was such a eye-opener to me about the process of how you bought that. And I want to get a little bit more out of that in terms of how you said it in the book of Galatians 2 and 20, because it's the increments of it is interesting. Man of God.
Amen. 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 God bless you. As a matter of fact, in that 21st verse, Paul made another statement that was very powerful, and he said, I do not satisfy the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. In other words, what he's saying there is that he does not take the grace of God for granted. Paul told us also in another part of the gospel, he said, for us not to use our righteousness as a cloak of unrighteousness. In other words, those of us who have been seated in this thing, we know that when we're trying to minister to other people, when we have people that are weak in the faith, we are supposed to, we have no other choice but to lead by example, just like Pastor Chop saying. If someone comes to you and they're abusing you verbally and they're using the spicy language, well, Jesus already told us what to do. He said to bless them that use you. He said to love and bless even your enemies. In other words, just because someone comes to you in a particular way, you don't have to respond in like manner. Remember, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And when Paul made this, he said that he does not set aside the grace of God. In other words, if I conduct myself any kind of way and still obtain the righteousness or justification from God, or if I can obtain justification from God just by following the laws and certain traditions, then that means that Jesus died for nothing.
Amen.
We have to understand that the death of Christ wasn't for him, it was for us. And it was for a reason. It was all according to the plan of God. But this is what I'm talking about. We have attitude and we have the mentality in a lot of churches today. You've got preachers preaching certain different gospels. Paul also, he started this gospel off by telling him, he said, if I, an angel or any man preach any gospel other than the gospel I have preached to you, other than the gospel of Christ, let him or her be accursed. This thing is for real, and it's not anything to be taken lightly.
Amen.
We've got people today preaching all. Yes, sir.
Amen. No, you go ahead. You got a few callers that's kind of waiting on you. We got one that's coming in from 469 and 534. You're going to be next. That's going to come up as the man of God continues on his conversation. We're going to bring you here in just a few minutes. Just hold on, 469 534 prefix. So we're going to get you here in just a minute. We see you got you. We got you up in the studio. Go ahead, Elder.
All right. All I want to say is if we have the same mentality, then if we actually allow the enemy to fool us into believing that we can live and do any kind of whatever thing and still obtain heaven, then our walk, our, quote, righteousness is in vain the same way. Go ahead.
Wow. Wow. Call her at 469. It's going to be 469. That's going to be 534, the first prefix. We don't want to give out the whole number, but you are on the air with Elder Curry Williams. Here at Harvest Lulac Studios. Go ahead.
Bless you, Elder Curry and Pastor Charles. Tune in. Excellent word.
God bless you, sir.
What you guys definitely were speaking. Now is the time for the believers to really buckle down and get from out of the four walls. I just want to you know, just say thank you for that word. I want to meditate on that a little bit more tonight and see what God is speaking in my spirit about it. But no questions or anything. Just want to let that just kind of saturate my spirit and everything and kind of think about some of the things that was spoken.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Elder Carey, you know, you talk when we look at, you know, I like to call it the prime of the word. You know, one of the things, you know, you hear some of the ministers say, you know, put pressure on the word. You know,
it's mm-hmm.
Want to bring it to the full effect of what it's designed to be, because there's a lot in there before you even come to the point of even just speaking out of your mouth of, oh, I'm saved, oh, I'm sanctified, I'm filled with the precious power of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, John really prepared his people for some of these events and what we're going through right now over in the book of John.
That's right.
He made a,
that's
a
right.
with his statement to his disciples. He said, you have not chosen me. As a matter of fact, this is more like grandmother's, not my grandmother, my mother's favorite scriptures. Bless her to go on to be with the Lord. And also, I thank you for being with the service with me during the best of mm-hmm. my own. I want to thank
Amen.
You for that.
Amen. The word of God is what's called promise with condition. God says, I'll provide this, I'll do this, on condition that you obey me, on condition that you do this. This is what I command you.
Amen.
Go ahead, Pastor.
Amen. In that particular scripture, you know, kind of bringing cohesiveness, but what you're talking about in the book of Galatians, you know, it some relevancy to the book of John chapter 15. It will open the eyes to the illumination and how even
right.
the word says, if you reign with me, you're going to suffer with me. Now, when you look at chapter 15 of the book of John, he makes a very strong statement. He said, for you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you.
Or I have chosen you. That's right.
Or did you bring forth fruit that your fruit will remain? And if that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Now this is a powerful area when you talked about it in correlation with the book of Galatians.
Galatians, that's right.
He said in the book of John, in correlation with that, he said, these things I command you. Now, notice how he said it for what we're dealing with right now. He said, these things I command you, that you love one another. That was the greatest command. Despite of all the proclivity that's going on around us, he comes back
mm-hmm.
to the disciples, and he says in the 18th verse, he says, if the world hated you, you know that they hated me before they hated you.
That's right. That's
a powerful statement to get you prepared for some of the times that we're dealing in today.
Amen.
It's very clear. If you were in the world, and the world would love your love its own. Now, if you were in the world would love its own. He talks about,
amen,
but
amen.
You're not in the world, but I have chosen you in the name of Jesus. That
that's right.
Therefore, the world hates you. He's telling you, get ready for what's going on. Even when you talk about the crucifixion that you spoke over there in the book of Galatians, I am crucified. Crucifixion is the process of being able to receive, I would say, the model command and the playbook of going forth on the playing field. If you can't,
amen.
Look, baby, you need to get out of the kitchen because it's pressure.
That's
right. And you want to follow a tradition, man-made religion, baby, I'm telling you, you got to be able to separate yourself, to be able to walk
that's
alone,
right.
to go against the grain. I'm telling you, you got to be a pioneer in this business because everybody is doing
it.
What you want to do, you can't grow there. Go ahead, man of God.
In this walk, self is the last thing on the list. Another portion of this gospel that correlates right alongside the word in Galatians is the 6th chapter of Romans.
Wow. Yeah.
Paul lays it out. Dead to sin in the land of God. Verse 1 says, what shall we say then?
Mm.
He asked the proverbial question, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
Oh, my Lord.
Absolutely not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?
Do you not know
that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized also, and this is what we seem to forget sometimes, into his death? So you got to understand that. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I want you to help me with something on that.
Uh-huh.
When you said that, you know, dead to sin. How can we live any longer? How you explain something about the church, how we come into the church and we just there, you know, we just coming in. We you know, and the word of God talks about that it came to pass about, you know, about the seed sowing. Luke talks about that and how the word of God's been from us. Help me in that, what you just said, in terms of, you know, receiving the word of God. Again, it's falling on this bad ground, as it says over there, that much people got together, you know, without Mary sitting, talking about speaking the parables. He talked about the seed sowing that Luke 8 and 5. How is it that we're missing it? What is it missing? Is it the leader? Is it the platform? What is it that we're missing in the relationship in this walk with Christ? Why are we being devoured of the very word of God that's in us? How is that coming about? If we're not crucified, as you said, being truly crucified, he says in Galatians.
Quite honestly, we're missing the very part of that parable that Jesus taught when he says that some seed fell on stony ground, some seed fell on good ground. The problem is, for many of us, the seed falls. We can go to church and we can hear a great word, but see, that's where the leadership portion in. Again, God expects us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. So from that point forward, it becomes self-accountability. There are so many different things that go into this, but if you're really dedicated to doing this thing and to really being crucified with Christ, you first have to begin with self. You have to dedicate yourself to living in the Word. You have to spend time in your closet with God. You have to dedicate that you're not going to allow any type of hindrance, because anything that comes against you from growing in the knowledge in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is definitely coming from the enemy. Now, the sources may be anything. It may be sickness. It may be confusion. It may be friends, loved ones. Sometimes even the people, quote, in the church. The enemy does what he's going to do. But if you're crucified with Christ, remember, Jesus said that the seed has to fall into the ground, it has to die, and it has to abide alone. Okay. See, too many of us don't want to spend time alone, let alone time alone with God. But that makes all the difference in the world. Anytime God wanted to move upon any of his servants' heart, he separated them. He spent time with them alone. If you don't believe me, research the book of Genesis.
Oh, no, that's out through the word of God.
That's all the way through the word, but I mean, begin. What I'm saying is go back to the beginning and start and go through the book is what I'm saying. One of the best examples of that I remember is when he separated Jacob at Bethel, and he revealed himself to Jacob. We have to position, in other words, preacher, we have to position ourselves to receive from God, because God has called us. But he also said many are called, but few are chosen, because the reason for that is dedication. God requires self-sacrifice. And see, real love, first of all, real love is not selfish. It's selfless. And we've got to understand that. But as it relates to your question, that ground, in order to become good, it has to be prepared. It has to have some dedication. Someone has to break it up. Someone has to kill it. Someone has to condition it. And then the seed can be planted. Once the seed is planted and it abides alone, then God ministers to that seed and God springs forth life from that seed. Amen? Mm-hmm.
Well, let's look at that, like you said. I see as the word goes forth, I see the revelation in what you're speaking about, because more power, there are more people dropping off the line in the name of Jesus. Because sometimes they
hear
it, they can't handle it. If it doesn't tickle their
ears, sorry about that.
You understand what I'm saying? I got to have somebody that's going to say some good words to me to make me feel good, prophesy something in my life, make me feel more about me than what's about the Word of God. And then this is what happens. So when we look
that's
at
why this can never be about our flesh, our feelings.
Amen. we look. Okay, let's talk about, like you said, let's talk about self-examination. What is that? First Corinthians 11? That's self-examination. That's what you talk about, the follow ground. Luke 8 talks about, okay, you're not prepared because you somewhere in your life you get your stony. You know, that's the fouls are picking it. So let's talk about, if we're going to spring up the right way, then we need to spend the time alone with Christ. And the first thing we need to deal with is self-examination. How do you get to the point? For the listening audience, for those who are yet with us in the studio, how are we going to that? But before you go forth, I was going to, you know, I know this is my wife, Co-Pastor Patty Ellis, but she's got a head.
Hey man, yeah, we need to get the questions and the comments, you know, give folks a chance. Because I can talk all night, brother.
You got a little bit. So I will let you know when time's coming to an end. But let's get her in here, Co-Pastor Patty Ellis. I know she's been listening in. And we'll hear what she has to say. Co-Pastor Patty, bless you, woman of God.
Good evening. I just wanted to comment on a couple of things that just really stuck out at me. I mean, the whole word did, but one of the things you just said is about being selfless. When you crucify yourself to Christ, as you said earlier, that's not about how you feel. That's another thing that stuck out to me. And that it is something that it is selfless. And those are the things I think people, when they come to Christ, when they're looking from the outside in before they come in, like, what does that mean, you know, to be selfless, and what does that mean to give your life up to Christ? And when you do that, I think when you get stronger in the Word and stronger in your relationship with the Lord, you get enlightened.
Amen. You do.
You're
really.
You get enlightened and you get more guidance. And I think that's hard in this world for people to do, is to not concentrate on themselves.
Amen, it is.
You know, that we're so conditioned in this world by everything that we see on TV and talking with people. Just listen when you're anywhere. People talk about themselves and what they're doing, and they don't talk about
Christ. Give me a mind, Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And it's so good to hear that confirmation of where we need to be. Because sometimes we need to be reminded. Even when you're on that path, you still, like, stay there, stay on that narrow path, and listen to what the Lord is telling you. But I love this word today and where the scriptures that you're coming from, because it's such great guidance for us.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Yeah. You know, it's true. We live in an age now where flesh seems to be ruling. Everybody leads with me, mine, I. What can you do for me? What can you give for me? But remember, Jesus committed the ultimate act of selflessness for us to follow. We've got to understand that in this walk, self should be the last thing on the list. Because if you remember correctly, in that same book of John, Jesus prayed a prayer of intercession. And he prayed and asked, told the Father, he's grateful to the Father that he had kept and had lost none of those that he had gave him. Jesus modeled a life of intercession for us. If we live our lives interceding for everyone but ourselves, God cannot lie. It has to come back to us. The world says, what goes around comes around. But God said, whatsoever you sow, that shall you also reap. So if you're sowing a life of intercession, if you're sowing a life of loving and putting forth and attending to the needs of everyone else, God automatically has you covered. And we have to understand that at the end of the day, that word love is the most abused word in the English language, or even universally.
Wow.
But I had a wise woman of God tell me a long time ago, love ain't love until you give it away. For God so loved the world that he gave, hallelujah, his only begotten son. He didn't say anything about taking or receiving. He said give. Why do you think the concept of giving and a free will offering is so important to God? He set the tone and the example by giving to us from the best that he had. So we're like, turn. I can't. Fred Hammond had a song. He said, what can I give in exchange for all that you've done for me? The only thing, the best thing you can give God is yourself. And the only way to do that is to crucify yourself, to submit yourself to being crucified with Christ. Because again, Paul says that if we're crucified with Christ, then how can we continue in sin?
Amen.
It's actually redundant, and it's self-destructive. God is
Amen.
Pro-life. He's not anti-life.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, man of God. We're moving to the bottom of the show, and we want to go ahead and finish out here about maybe we got about 8 minutes left for the show. I'm going to bring a few commercials here. For those who are going to be joining us on tomorrow night on the same station, we're going to have Lucas Shirley out of Chestnut, Virginia, who's another powerful man of God to bring forth the word of God.
Amen, amen.
Friday night, you know, y'all been dealing with the seven laws. I've been teaching that series about the seven laws of the kingdom. We want to make sure we get a part of you joined in that course Saturday morning, 10:30. We have our Psalms report. And we're going to actually look at the variables between Thursday and Friday and what we're going to actually do, because I think we will have Pastor Pearson out of Terrell, Texas, Mount Olive Baptist Church with us in here on Friday. Or we will tag team with him, for those of you who's listening on now. We're about at the bottom of the show right now. We thank the women of God and those who participated in the show today. And we want you to continue to come on and be with us here at Blog Talk Radio, as well as our Spreaker Radio Show. 20 different platforms we have here at Harvest New Life Church that we access on the social network, so you can find us anywhere. And we want to turn it back over to we're going to let him finish out here as he give us some final words on this particular word, or this phenomenal word that he brought forth on this afternoon.
Amen, amen. Really quick, Paul wrote to us in 1 Corinthians, and this was concerning something that's familiar to anyone who's ever spent any time in church, how to conduct ourselves the Lord's Supper, or Holy Communion. It was one of the ordinances of the church that Christ himself instituted for us to follow. But in verse 28, Paul said, but let a man examine himself,
Amen.
And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup.
That's right.
Now, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner and drinks judgment to himself,
Amen.
Not discerning the Lord's body. And this is what's rampant today in front of our eyes. We have a lot of people going through the motions.
Yes, motions.
But not really examining themselves, not really partaking of the Lord's blood and body. And we've got to understand that we have to be very careful. Deception is the biggest trick of the enemy. Amen. And the body of Christ, as it pertains to flesh and people, is not off limits from regarding that matter. It was one time I heard a line in a movie. Many years back now. It was a secular movie. And the line that the man said, it was so profound, I never forgot it. And all he said was this. He said, the greatest trick that the devil did was convince the world that he doesn't exist.
The Houdini.
Those are the times that we're living in, people of God. But those of us that know the truth, those of us that walk in righteousness of God, those of us that actually have been crucified with Christ, we understand that it's our mission to put on the bonds of love. There's a reason why Paul said, I'm a bondservant of Christ. I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He understood that if he had to do anything in his own power, he would be lost. And we've got to have that mentality from this time forward, because it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Amen.
But God's righteousness is always going to prevail. There's this old song we sing. There's a storm out on the ocean, and it's coming this way. You point yourself. And the word says, if your soul's not anchored in Jesus, you will surely drift away.
Amen.
Be prayerful, be watchful, be vigilant. God bless you.
Amen. Well, God bless you, man of God, for being with us on our show this afternoon. Such a powerful word. I hope it brought revelation and information in direction to the lives of each and every one of you. You can always catch us here. I think Elder Carey is going to be with us the remaining of part of the month of August. We're looking into making sure he's going to be with us on the show.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
This coming Wednesday night, I want you to prepare yourself for Dr. Stephon Sweater, who's always bringing the great word. Be with us all the week, all the month of July. He's going to be coming back doing that very same thing again on tomorrow as he brings forth a powerful word from the kingdom of God. To each and every one of you here at Harvest Who I Church and Harvest Who I Students, on behalf of me and my beautiful wife, co-pastor Patty Ellis, is enjoyable for those who showed up and been a part of this show today. Congratulate and just entertain, not entertain, but to be about the powerful word of this man of God brought forth. Tune in. God bless you and God keep you. We'll be with you on tomorrow. Tune in and be with us. Thank you once again, Elder Carey, for being with us on the show. And God bless
you.
God
bless
you,
sir.
Amen.
Good night. Oh, God.